that issue, you know, that if one human being treats another disrespectfully, what about enforcing that law? How do you enforce a law that is intended to help people treat each other with respect? Okay, well, when it goes down the tubes or somebody's acting disrespectfully, it's because of some human reason. It's not a quote-unquote crime, unless they get violent or something, to be disrespectful. It's just rude.
Right, well, unfortunately, they've made numerous things a crime that weren't a crime before, which
this,
is...
This is true. And
they being our city council.
Understood. And part of the idea around that is, well, if they... my belief is that if they pass a law that's more stringent than is truly necessary, when there are times of social protest and unrest, and they've got a way of keeping the peace and maintaining, quote-unquote, public safety.
Yeah, or pleasing the merchants that are one of their constituencies and...
Or whatever.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, and so most of the time, though, the law, the letter of the law isn't so important, and the spirit of the law is what needs to prevail. And that's the challenge we face, is what is the spirit of the law? What is the conduct we'd like to see on all sides downtown?
So, folks interested in this should come to the library on Thursday.
Yes.
At 10, is there anything, I'm going to try to move on
okay.
here.
But I would like to respond to one thing.
Sure.
If I may.
Yes.
Because I heard you say a couple times that $5,000 is a lot of money.
Well, now I was, again, being the devil's advocate, and I was saying that $5,000 may seem like a lot of money to people who are poor.
All right. This is true. And to those who would love to have $5,000 for their six-month expenses, which is really, given that this is for a six-month run and actually make it 8 months, because we spent our first 2 months trying to find additional $5,000 matching fund, if you divide that by two people, it's $2,500 each mediator.
Right.
Right? If you divide that by 6 months, you get
about $400
a month. $416.67 a month.
Which is somewhat better than GA, but not well, it's significantly better than GA, we have to say.
Consider that there are six different groups, six separate groups of what we'll call primary parties in the mediation. Each group gets meeting time, and each meeting takes prep time, not to mention... You know, blah, blah, blah,
How many hours a week do you put into this?
We're doing between 15 and 30. It depends on the week.
And what is a mediator usually paid at the going scale?
The mediator's usual rate of pay is about $100 an hour.
So you're taking a significant cut to do this kind of work.
Yes, if we actually go out and say, let's do worst case of 15 hours a week, that's 65 hours a month. That gets us down to $6.41 an hour. So it's not exactly a for-profit gig.
Right. I guess the question that, indeed, yes. The question that people that might have is not so much that you aren't, you know, engaging in a... In, I think you are yourselves engaging in a public service here and doing so at a, you know, a fraction of your normal your rate. But the question that the city council, what is the city council really doing here? Are they, you know, are they funding something that they really want to... A process they want to support if you came up with some real solutions... Let's say ruffled the feathers of some of the big interests downtown, or is it, you know, a public relations activity? And that chapter really remains to be seen. You know, I mean, some people would rather say, sure, but $5,000 is $5,000, and it could be spent in numerous ways, and now it's being spent here. And I guess, I'm persuaded that there's a real positive benefit that's come out of it in terms of this interim mediating group that you gave your number to our audience on for resolving problems. So I was looking all the time for some action, for some specific action. I know you were telling me, well, you have to do the preliminaries, you have to talk to both sides, you have to work things out clearly, and then comes the crucial point at which, you know, you can really begin the process, but most of the work involves is setting up the process.
Yes. I don't know. I can quote one of the council members who, in an article that was published in the Sentinel a while back, you know, which we won't comment about the Sentinel itself, but Mike Rodkin said that nothing else seems to be working particularly well anyway, so let's give it a try.
Right.
And that currently is the stand. I don't know if the opinions have changed about that. You know, it ain't over till it's over. It seems as if there was enough motivation and ultimately awareness that the problem wasn't solving itself, that they had to try something. It was, shall we say, a good investment to try mediation. They sent Sentinel article concluded that if it works, it's a bargain, and if it doesn't, it was at least worth trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm believing, and I'm hoping that you'd support me in this belief, Robert, that some of what we are doing at this time is heading in a direction that seems constructive.
I agree.
Just getting somewhere, at least.
Yeah, as an individual, I agree. Of course, I encourage you to expand your outreach. I've said this every time, and I don't know how effective it is with you, to get out to the River Street shelter and talk to the people that your work is going to impact, because while I may have a million ideas, it's their ideas that really are going to be, at least their involvement, their consent, their concern, their participation that is more important than that of a few people. I don't regard myself as a representative of any homeless people, even though I favor the rights of people who are poor.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to, a homeless garden project worker and a few other folks actually at the homeless garden project seem to understand and have been involved in this effort. I'd love to see more people from different sectors from all around town get involved and support what we're trying to accomplish. What you're asking, Robert, is very reasonable, and I admit that it's been a challenge for us to get to connect with a lot of the people that are around Santa Cruz. I think what would make the biggest difference is if we could have some people who understand the process and who can explain it well to others. I think I'm too close to it sometimes to really explain how it works.
Well, I encourage you to, you're not so bad. Give a call to Karen Gillette out at the Day Resources Center, talk and get and round up the people at the Interface Satellite Shelter Program one night and just do a presentation and say, if anybody here has had problems with merchants downtown, we're doing a mediation process. And I would say also poster the area for the upcoming Thursday meeting.
Yes.
But then I always say the same thing.
I'd love to solicit the assistance of others who are involved and could get involved in helping us accomplish that.
Sure.
We're spread pretty thin, and it would be great to have more people get involved.
Well, give your number out so people can volunteer to help.
Yes, certainly. 408-462-6269.
462-6269 to call Daniel Robin, one of the mediators that is hoping to draw an end to the dark ages here in Santa Cruz of force and violence and have a return to civilized mediation on the problems downtown.
You can also call Kimberly Hallinan if...
Sure, what is her number?
Kim's number is 454-0605.
Okay. Well, and it's up to our people listening whether this process is going to succeed. It's not us that's going to do it. It's all of you out there. So I want to thank you, Daniel. Is there anything you want to conclude with? Or?
No, thanks for the time, Mr. Robespierre.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Take care of that bathroom.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I don't have my bathrobe with me today, actually. But there may be bathrobes in the offing because I've heard from certain activists rumors of a possible housing takeover here in Santa Cruz. Housing is a... Shelter is a right, and I think that the waste of abandoned housing, unused housing, it's a scandal across the nation. And then the response of cities, people who don't have housing and who try to live anyway, is things like sleeping bans, slightly modified by our city council, and by the way, coming up for a second reading on Tuesday, their law which allows, mind you, churches to say, okay, you can park three of your vehicles in our parking lot tonight, but no more, meaning that three vehicles can park in the lot, but if the fourth vehicle gets to head for Jerusalem or wherever they go. So interviews galore today. I want to kind of give you some information before my time abruptly comes to a close, and I invite anybody else who was going to call in. I guess I was going to suggest that Candlelight Kim Argula might want to call in on a Homes Not Jails, Food Not Bombs update, and she's been talking to former mayor, now council member Scott Kennedy, whom I call Squawk Box Scott because of his infatuation with the police department. I encourage Phil Free to call back if he's listening. He was discussing matters on the mall. I invite you to call in. And the call-in number here is 427-3772, 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz. I was going to let you hear a kind of a tidbit from something that's going to be coming up in a week. About two or three years ago, Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, who is also an activist involved with homeless rights and police abuse, and helped form a group called SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, which helps people file complaints and keeps a record of police misconduct throughout the county, can be reached, by the way, at 475-2012, 475-2012, in case you have a problem. He's also a playwright, and he wrote and directed a play called Home Sweet Homeless, which he then performed in various parks throughout the city, and there was a videotape done of it, which was it's a funny play. And it, of course, I want to toot its horn particularly because it features me as one of the characters, as a homeless activist. It's a very funny play, kind of crazy. And he has done a tape of that play. He has done a tape of that play, kind of cut down, I think it's an hour, 2 hours long. He's cut it down to an hour, and he's going to play that tape for us next Friday, a week from today, on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. And to give you kind of a preview of what he's doing, or what he did, I'm going to play you my somewhat not-so-good recording of Home Sweet Homeless, a selection from it, so you can see what's coming up next week.
Everybody here registered to vote now?
Yes!
And we all know who the correct candidates are?
Yes!
All right, who's in charge here?
You, apparently.
You some kind of organizer?
I have been known to organize a few political campaigns.
Political? You're an activist?
I've also been observed at the courts presenting my...
The courts, huh?
Bad news.
Presenting evidence on behalf of my clients.
You some kind of legal liberal?
You realize these questions are somewhat intimidating?
Sure thing, fella. You got any witnesses? Sure. Hey, Maloney, you ever check out a place like this?
What you think of girls underage in these boxes?
Now they're probably too stoned to catch any women. So, who's in charge here?
General Dublason.
Oh, come on, who's in charge, really? Oh, come on, 606. 606, public nuisance.
Who wants you to change that?
Who is that?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Catman.
Is that right? You want to spell that for me?
Meow.
Is this a cat box right here?
What?
This is a cat box. I'm talking to you, sir.
That's no ordinary cat box.
He's one of my clients. Oh, a good, honest cat. This is no mere cat box. This is a concrete expression of the spirit of free enterprise. Mm-hmm. Now, if the city were to grant these people some better building material...
9208, unlicensed public construction.
9208.
You, been throwing, some food, man?
Yeah. You want a taste, officer? Here.
Now. Oh, yeah. 29-3.
29-3.
Unlicensed serving of soup.
Unlicensed serving of soup. That's a crime?
It is in this town.
We shouldn't be doing that!
Look down, Maloney. Here! That's Maloney's assault of unknown matter. Let's get him.
Here! Here!
And that is a selection from Home Sweet Homeless, a play by Nutcracker Nick Whitehead. And next week you're going to hear the whole thing, or somewhat compacted and spruced up and audio-enhanced version of that play, which it's a satire of politics after the homeless, after the earthquake in 1989 here in Santa Cruz. You might find it interesting. I hope you do. I enjoyed it a lot. Nick Whitehead will be in the studio at that time discussing his work in Santa Cruz and the play and discussing other stuff. Like, he's been involved in housing takeovers up north, and he may be able to give us some inspiration down here. In fact, I brought along a couple of articles. Had I more time, I was going to read them from the Oakland homeless magazine, Street Spirit. A new newspaper comes out in Oakland, sold on the streets like the Street Sheet is in San Francisco, and occasionally the Street Shit Sheet here in Santa Cruz, my homeless newspaper or newsletter. For those interested in a debate on homeless issues on the Internet, you can email me at norse@netcom.com, norse@netcom.com, or you can turn into the news groups, tune into the news groups, alt.org.foodnotbombs and scruz.politics. Again, that's alt.org.food-not-bombs and scruz.politics. There's some ongoing debate around homeless issues, specifically a flyer I wrote called Justice for Linda Edwards, which brings up another subject. I believe that I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the air yet. Linda Edwards, as I've mentioned in the past, died June 3rd. She was a homeless activist who worked here for a decade at least. High-profile person who lived in her van, took no handouts from the government, and fought for the rights of poor people to be themselves and to survive on the streets and where they could survive. Specifically, she fought the sleeping ban, the city's anti-homeless law, which makes it illegal to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night. She died after a year of struggling with liver cancer, largely without any kind of support or help or medical, even from the government, though her last months were spent in a rest home, the Hill Haven, out on Capitola Road. The day she died, she was sexually battered and assaulted, in my opinion, by a man. And that case was sent to the coroner's office, and it has now been sent to the district attorney's office. And the coroner investigator, actually the sheriff's investigator, Detective Wilson, has told me that that matter will be decided within a week. You pretty much can tell if the DA is going to do anything, and if he doesn't, I'm going to be encouraging people probably to ask why. A question of why the middle-class woman were assaulted in the way she was. If someone was found in the bed of a middle-class woman, and that woman died 3 hours later, I think the individual would be in jail. He would not be at large and uncharged, and that is currently the case. So we'll be having more information at the next show, or possibly a week from today at the Friday show on that issue. Food Not Bombs is being arrested in San Francisco again, yes. A report on the Internet this morning says that, if I give you the exact quote here. I'm going to have to do it kind of by ear, by memory. The two people were arrested on July 18th at dinner, Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, which is a group that feeds anybody who comes there to the UN Plaza in San Francisco 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year for 8 years now, or actually for about six or seven years on that schedule. They get hot food, hot vegetarian food that's edible if not tasty, and bagels and other not yummies, sometimes salad. San Francisco police have been trying to close them down under two mayors, and probably will under Willie Brown. At least that's the prediction of one Food Not Bomber, Katzenjammer Keith McHenry. Anyway, two people were arrested after what seemed to be a ceasefire in the arrests of Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. They arrested two, charging them with... It's uncertain what they were charging them with as far as the thing I got on the line, but I think it was something... Usually they charge them with violating a court order, which is what I was charged and convicted of back in 1994, and possibly serving food without a food facility permit, which is a misdemeanor. Both of these are misdemeanors. No one has ever been taken to court or to trial on this except me, and I got taken to trial because I demanded a jury trial in which I was convicted, and my case has again been postponed until December, so more delays on that issue. It's going to be argued next month in Superior Court Appellate Division in San Francisco, and I'll give you more details when I have the exact details on that. It's more delay, more waste of the taxpayers' money, more foolishness, probably to put it off till after the elections when they can dispose of me as they wish. There's currently a permanent injunction against the service of food in San Francisco by Food Not Bombs, even though there are no cases, count them, no cases of complaints to the health department about bad food to Food Not Bombs. So even though they serve literally millions of meals, that it's agreed by almost all the social service agencies that the food is needed in San Francisco, that the police department itself distributes a survival guide which lists places for people to go, which lists Food Not Bombs as a resource. Food Not Bombs continues to be arrested there. It's crazy, but hey, that's how it is. A report from Food Not Bombs in the East Bay, over in Berkeley. The People's Park, apparently, the University of California, is still breathing down the necks of people there. They're continuing to talk about relocating, quote-unquote, Food Not Bombs. I guess like they relocated the Jews, you know. Food Not Bombs and Catholic Services there, another group that put up a kind of a makeshift structure called the People's Cafe back in 1990, right in the middle of People's Park, where homeless and poor people could come 24 hours a day, just sit around and have coffee, and enrage the authorities that such a thing should be there. These groups are saying they want to continue to serve people food in People's Park in Berkeley, and they will continue to do so. But and the city has not made a move on them yet. There is a report on the Oakland-Berkeley Monday for Mumia, a march that happened up there on behalf of protesting the planned murder of Mumia Abu-Jamal, or as the government likes to call it, the execution of Mumia, in August, coming up in about a month. According to this internet note, the Oakland cops were pretty frightening, arresting five people, ran into a John L., a Food Not Bomber, with a motorcycle, bruising his back, and were overall pretty testosterone. Where the San Francisco cops seemed more professional in their repression, the Oakland cops were like an out-and-out-of-control gang. The funniest thing was that when we got to the Berkeley border and were about to leave Oakland, they all got out of their cars. They had been driving alongside of us, trying to keep us in a single lane, about 500 of us, and put on their riot gear. They quickly put their helmets on as we were leaving. What the fuck for? We were told later that they got paid more if they were in a riot situation, so they had to don their gear before the last one of us stepped across the border. That's from a manual of the East Bay Food Not Bombs. Well, what else? I will have to defer till next week the report, or till next Monday, I guess I'll be speaking with you again at 10 o'clock, from John Malkin, who is a commissioner on the Santa Cruz's very own ineffectual Civilian Police Review Board, that has now heard about 16 or 17 complaints, or actually it hasn't heard them, it's seen cover sheet copies of them. The police department, as far as I know, is still refusing to forward the real complaints to the Civilian Police Review Board, but claiming that those complaints once made are now a sacred part of the officer's personnel file and so confidential. I brought this matter up to City Council and twice so far, over a period of 2 months, and I was assured by Mayor Byers that she was going to do an FYI, ask the staff, that is, to investigate this issue. Dick Wilson, the manager, said, no, that's not true. They can get copies of the complaints, but the fact of the matter is it is true, or it was when I brought it up to the council, and hopefully it won't be by Tuesday, when the City Council, by the way, meets again. If you want to check out your governing body, if you live in the city of Santa Cruz, hustle on down to the City Council, which meets every second and fourth Tuesdays, except for next month when they're going on vacation throughout the month, at 3:30 and at 7. There are two sessions of the council. The one I usually go to is at 7 because it involves the reading of ordinances, which interests me more than the stuff that happens at 3:30. But if you want, you can pick up an agenda from the city clerk downtown right across from the library. Or if you have a computer, the city council agenda is online, and you can catch it by looking at scruz.politics on the email, not the email, on the news groups of a computer, if you have an internet access there. So, the report from Malkin is kind of elaborate, and I'll go into that hopefully, and maybe have an even revised report on Monday. The Criminal Justice Counsel's Betty Ipich, we already talked to, and I can give you more details about what she said, but it looks like the youth curfew hasn't stirred too much interest in you, the audience, with the exception of Tom Reveille, who I thank for calling in. We also had a meeting of the hosts, a controversial group, the little green-shirted folks that walk around giving information to the police and kind of softening up the territory so that homeless people get a chance to cut and run if they want before the city brings out the heavy, more expensive guns. Interesting thing we may bring up at the next session is Kate Wells, Catnip Kate as I call her, an attorney, and Richard Quigley are engaged in an illegal, paralegal membership drive. They've got a group formed, and they're showing people how to challenge tickets in court, how to fight a ticket. And membership fee is $10, or you can do a donation. If you can't pay, you just do time monitoring the court as a way of paying for your membership. And they will show you how to fight tickets in court through a new method in which you demand what's called a verified complaint in court. Normally, what you get is a citation from an officer in the court. You refuse the jurisdiction of the court until they give you a verified complaint. And I'd like to go into great detail on this, but more so when I have somebody with me who is really up on the ins and outs and P's and Q's and so forth of this particular issue. It's a sort of a citizen advocate approach used by some right-wing militia groups, but also used by other individuals who wish to not to detract necessarily from right-wing militia groups. I'm actually pleased to see Waco's the genocide that happened there, the massacre that happened there under investigation. I think that the FBI needs to be kept under control, and liberals who want to cheerlead Clinton in this one are making a big mistake. So we'll be discussing how to go to court. But if you want to get more kind of update information on that, you can come to one of her meetings. So she's having a meeting of her group, which will be on Saturday at 2 p.m. That's tomorrow, at 201 Maple Street. That's 2 p.m., 201 Maple Street. That's right downtown. That's how to fight a ticket. If you're interested in fighting your tickets and learning a new way to defend your rights in court, come to 201 Maple tomorrow at 2 p.m. The Above the Line Community Consortium is a group of homeless care providers, merchants, and a few activists like me who are kind of essentially trying to get more resources. We were able to get tents for people to put up around the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program's open-air shelter, the homeless campground, and are concerned about raising funds for youth programs and things like that, and hopefully are also concerned with altering the shape of the oppression. I'm afraid that it's sort of a Freudian slip. I guess we are simply altering the shape but not the substance of the oppression of poor people here in Santa Cruz. But hopefully the substance will also be dealt with. I had a subgroup in that called the Civil Rights or Human Rights Subcommittee. And if you want to get in touch with this group, the Above the Line Community Consortium, give a call to 457-9754. You can talk to either the Resource Committee or Emergency Shelter, Youth civil rights or their steering committee, and they're meeting at different times. For instance, the youth committee, which Karen Gillette, who's also the head of the Day Resource Center, heads, and she's going to be meeting on July 28th at Loudoun Nelson at 3 o'clock, in case you want to go to the youth committee. And I think if you're young, you might want to go to that group and ask them why they're not taking a more vigorous stance against the curfew law, which is coming right down the pike. Unfortunately, Karen has not attended any of those meetings I'm aware of. I wish she would. I wish that people from the who are homeless and young, or just young for that matter, would get aboard, clear, you know, tell these folks who are putting together laws supposedly in their own interests what's really going on. There's another meeting of the steering committee of the Above the Line Consortium, which is a homeless coalition, which doesn't do much activism or does virtually no activism. We couldn't even get them to endorse a letter to the city council saying that it was okay for churches to have vehicles parked on their property. It's a difficult group to get much through, but we are able at least to talk to each other. The steering committee meets, for those of you who are interested, July 28th, 1509 Seabright, 11:30 to 1 p.m. And perhaps some of you may remember that one-time activist group, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Well, HUF is one-time because activists have not been contacting HUF. HUF still has a phone number, 423-HUF, or 423-4833. And if you'd like to see some action around Santa Cruz in terms of protests against the downtown laws, I mean, there's new reports coming out, for instance, in this week's Metro Santa Cruz. This is a story about these young guys who were arrested for trespass without any kind of warning because they were sitting in an alcove trying to get out of the wind. And they went, of course, to Mad Dog Mulligan's court, and he was all prepared to say guilty, but the cops didn't show. And we have reports that, at least from Phil Free and Skidmark Bob, that downtown ordinances against sitting on the sidewalk, innocent conduct, not blocking the sidewalk, not abusing passersby, but just sitting there, is again being enforced. So it's like the police and the hosts are staking out territory. They are putting on the pressure and saying that they want to create, a freedom-free zone, so they don't have to worry about, they want to encourage people to abandon their rights in these circumstances and simply trust the wise police departments in these matters and the merchants, and I don't think we can do that. I think we have to stand up and fight. I think we have to sit down and fight. I think we have to sit down and take a second look at a lot of this stuff. So I'm going to give any stragglers a chance to call in here. Anybody who's listening who has perhaps been holding back but now wants to get a chance before the hours are up, and the 2 hours really are up, but since my replacement hasn't come yet, I haven't left the air. Call 427-3772, 427-FREE-RADIO Santa Cruz, because you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 89.3 FM. This is a call-in talk show, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Comes on every Monday at 10, every Friday at 10. And we're interested in what you have to say, not just what I have to say. So you've got a minute or two to give a call, and then we're going to say goodbye. And I'll see you on Monday morning. I want to put in a final pitch for Food Not Bombs, which is now no longer serving a Saturday meal and is really having trouble holding it together here in Santa Cruz. It's a really worthy organization. It's a central key organization in a lot of the meaningful protests that have happened here in the last 2 or 3 years. Certainly there are other groups too, but I encourage you to volunteer your time to cook, cut vegetables, serve food. It's okay. My name is, no, his name is Mud. Mud has come, just arrived, our next talk show host. But do volunteer for Food Not Bombs and give a call to 425 425-3345. And I think I have the number right this time. 425-3345. Or come to the meals and volunteer. And the meals are Sunday at 1 at River and Josephine, Tuesday at 11 at Loudon Nelson Park, right next to Loudon Nelson Center, Laurel Park or Loudon Park, and Wednesday at 4 at Cathcart and Pacific, across from the infamous Cat and Canary, at 4 o'clock. People don't need, we need vehicles there. We need, Food Not Bombs needs vehicles, it needs kitchens to cook in, it needs people to volunteer to cook, it needs your involvement if these meals are to continue. And if you want to contact me when I'm not on the air, Bathrobe Spear Robert, you can give me a call at 423-HUFF. That's 423-HUFF or 423-4833. So it's about time to start rolling out.
And that was it for the July 21st, 1995 flashback. Somewhat edited because the music was too distorted to really want to play again. But perhaps I'll play it on some other show. It's the musical Inner City, released in the 70s and then again in the 80s under the name Street Dreams. Really liked it. I'm a musical fan, and particularly musicals that have to do with street life. All those numbers, of course, you should ignore, except for the Huff number that you just heard. Huff hasn't changed in 30 years. Actually, it's more like 37 years. In terms of its phone number, so you can reach us at 831-423-4833. We're going to be at a protest on Tuesday at the police station, or an informational picket, if you will, or an informational flyering. That's going to be at 3:30 at the police department at, I think it's 155 Center Street, or it's Center and Laurel, wherever that is. And get in touch if you have any reports of things happening that you think the mainstream media isn't covering around poor and homeless folks. 423-4833.